This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
True. So first of all, welcome anyone that's chosen to download this today. We really do appreciate it. If you've not come across us before, go back to the backlog and catch up, or just let's get on with it. So I was trying to do a little bit of a mini pod series in Edinburgh. I was at the Edinburgh Fringe doing my show, The Worry Draw, and oh my goodness, I didn't quite achieve what I wanted to achieve. And it's one of those things that you look back and you go, well, why couldn't I? You know, I didn't have my kids, not for all of it. Anyway, I didn't have my kids. I should have had plenty of time. But, oh, it was just, yeah, just things just took over. But I did do a few, but I didn't do what I wanted to do. Yeah, I'm going to do one every day. So I'm sorry, but I'll try to give a little roundup now of how it went, because me and Gemma didn't even get chance to talk.
No, and I think, you know, it's worth saying, Hattie, that when I went up there, it's just even though you've got 24 hours in a day like you do, you just, I don't, it's funny, isn't it? It's like a vacuum, like a time vacuum. And
yeah,
it's difficult to find somewhere to sit down with phone signal.
Oh, yes.
With the, you know, quiet enough that isn't freezing cold or raining or whatever, to actually sit down and have a conversation with someone on the blower or whatever. Never mind record a podcast, you know.
Well, that was the thing. And I think in past years where I've lived with comics, I mean, past years I've lived with probably about 4 or 5 female comics, and then that would have been perfect. And actually nearly all the ones I normally live with are now mums. It would have been like, great, we just do it in the kitchen. But this year, because of expenses and some of them not going and different reasons, I was staying with a friend of my husband's, and so they lived a little bit out of main Edinburgh. And yeah, I just was like, when I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll ask Jess, I was like, I knew she was so busy as well. And so you feel bad. And if you do catch a minute to have a quick coffee, you, like you say, you're just even bad signal or you're just exhausted. And it's like, I just felt like a knob going, oh yeah, I can't see the podcast. Do you know what I mean? Which it shouldn't be, because it should just be a casual chat. But then you're like, oh, I'm trying to get reception. And yeah, it was just like, it is a bit like being thrown into motherhood in some weird way, because even though I've done the Fringe before, it's about 6-7 years since I last did it. And when I last did it, I wasn't married and I didn't have kids. And it was like doing it for the first time in a lot of ways. It was like you're thrown onto the conveyor belt and it's like, oh, here we go. And you're trying, like mother, you're trying to catch up all the time. And it, yeah, coming back, it seems mad now. I mean, I was chatting to my husband and I was sort of saying something about doing email. I was like, I haven't had a chance to do any of the email. He was like, you've had nearly a month without your children.
What have you been doing?
And I was like,
I've gone back, you've reverted back to not having children for a month. And so therefore you're just like, I'll do it later.
Yeah. I think there was a bit of that, and there was a lot of the reception thing, and also just the big thing for me was the not sleeping. Now, I am not a person who suffers with insomnia or anything like that, and then the first night or so Edinburgh, I was like, ah yes, I forgot I do have problems sleeping when I do the Edinburgh Fringe. And it was like it all came back to me, and different friends said, yeah, you've forgotten, haven't you? And I was like, and I again talked to Jess Foscue, and she was like, it's the adrenaline is running in our body, so you go to bed and you're just laying there, can't sleep, and then I wake up really early, like ping, like 6 o'clock, and I'm like, Hank, I could actually sleep in for once. My show is
Is there a bit of FOMO as well, but a FOMO that also comes with this kind of can't be asked as well? Because I would imagine that's what I'd be like, oh, I want to do everything and see everyone, but I also can't be bothered to.
Yes.
So actually, in a way, it's like, I could imagine that what I'd be doing was I'd spend a lot of time sitting on the edge of my bed wondering whether to bother to go somewhere or not.
Oh, it's so true, Gemma. It's
Yeah.
so true. And there's nothing else I can compare it to, really,
Yeah.
to sort of say, oh, it's a bit like when you start university. And I can't think of anything else that
No,
it's
no.
like.
It's a month. It's a whole bloody month, isn't it?
And for the and people that don't know, because this is what you realise that you forget again when you go out there, but people that don't know, literally, because people go, what is Edinburgh Fringe? Are you in tents? Are you, what time? Like, just to explain, it is nearly a month of basically nearly every pub, cafe, restaurant, shed becomes a venue in Edinburgh for people to do shows. It's the biggest. We have to remember, it's not a comedy festival.
No.
This is what people forget. It's an art festival, and it has become the massive part of it is comedy. But so there is so much going on. There is a book festival. It is so huge. And so, no, not camping. You're staying in very, very overpriced accommodation, and that's a whole other thing. Google it, because it's so ridiculously expensive. But yeah, and now it's just a hyper. You're so right. At the beginning, I didn't let that bother me. Like I was just like, I got my head, in my show. Like let's do this. And I wasn't bothered about what anyone else was doing. I had a lovely venue. I didn't actually have many comedians in my venue, which started off all right, and then actually I missed not more because you didn't have that. Do you know what I mean? I ended up becoming friends with the magicians, but that we'll get to that
Well,
later.
who do you, okay, fine.
Yeah, go on. What
Well,
was it?
if it were, so who else was in your, what other sorts of performers were in your venue?
Well, magician wise, magician wise, I've just got
Well,
magicians on the
okay.
brain. comedian wise, not people I don't really know that well. The woman, I feel like bad. I've got to Google her name because I've forgotten the. Oh, I can't remember. There was a comedian that was next to me in the room next to me, Sarah, and her show was called Scandalous. And I think it was quite a political show, but still, she was a woman of sort of like similar age to me. And we were kind of like, why have they put
Women of a certain
certain age?
age.
They go to Edinburgh instead of having a breakdown, or maybe just do that as well.
Do have a breakdown.
Yeah, but she was doing, that. Oh, anyway, that's a whole other thing. We were kind of like, we were different, but not just because we're women. It was like, I don't know. I just think they shouldn't have put us on at like the same time in the room next to each other. And then there'd be a massive gap where there's just like magic, 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 and all this
Magic.
so much magic,
Really?
so
Is
many magic shows.
magic the new stand-up?
Well, it's just voodoo rooms. I think is quite a big. It's a cabaret and magic sort of venue. But previous years they've had a lot more comedy, and anyway, so I sort of missed a bit of that at the beginning. No, sorry, I wasn't bothered about it at the beginning. But as it went on, and I was sort of getting more comfortable in my stride with my show, I did start to have that FOMO because you see people doing stuff. You're on bloody social media, and you're like, oh, should I be doing that? I'm not doing that panel show. Should I be doing that? Why am I not asked to do the late night wrestling show? Why am I? And I felt this year there was a lot of me. I didn't do enough spots. So I wish I could have done more because the spots that I did do, oh, for those that don't know, is where you just go and do a set like 5, 10 minutes
On a mixed bill, so there'd
on
be
a
like a
mixed
number of other
bill,
comics.
or you might do a panel show. And I really enjoyed them this year. I think it was just sort of appreciating that sort of stuff more.
And it's an opportunity to promote your own show as well, then, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's a
that's the
flyer on the way
point.
out and stuff, yeah.
But not forgetting we've not long been back gigging properly. So going to do all them, you really appreciated that world and being able to just go, oh, I'm just going to do a panel show here and I'm just going to do a spot here. And so I had a bit of FOMO with that. And then, yeah, and just not living with comics. That was the only thing. However, there was benefits because I was living with lovely friends, a big house, and you could get away from all. So there was, you have the pros and cons of it all, and also it didn't cost me anything. But I did have to pay. But I did have to pay for Airbnb, of course, when my family come up. That was always the plan, that they would come up for. It's going to be originally the last half, but we decided in the end they just came up for 8 days, train strikes, all that sort of blah. So yeah, so but I couldn't believe how much I missed them at the beginning. I was just thinking, you stupid idiot, like get on with it, stop missing them. But I think it was just a mixture of homesick, not left them ever, really. And they're 6, 7, you know, well, the oldest is 7. And so I just literally felt like heartbreak. Like, yeah. And I think that combined with nervousness from my show and the adrenaline and that, you know, it was like, I mean, it was nice. I think it was good for them. I think I recommend it to people in some ways. It was good for them to miss me, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, and they came up and they had a whale of a time.
And, I mean, and I know obviously you're already going to post the photos that, you know, show having fun, whatever. But it just looked brilliant. It looked like they were having such a brilliant time.
Oh, honestly, there
and
was.
You, and so did would, so in hindsight, could you have had them for the whole month? Or do you think in terms of your kids, it, the way that it, that you had it was right?
I was originally saying, oh, I'd never do it again without them, blah, blah, blah. But I do wonder whether the whole month would have been too much. And even though, you know, it's like if they had been there, even though it was stressful at that beginning, it would have been, maybe it would have been even more stressful if they'd been there. I don't know. You know, I think you definitely need that couple of days to sort yourself out when you first get there. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, I wouldn't be away from them as long. Ideally, I wanted it so that when they went back, we'd go back together. So they come for the last bit, you know, or something like that. But it didn't work out like that because it's Huxley's birthday and whatever. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm back within a couple of days and I'm like losing my rag with them and I'm arguing with them.
Straight
and I'm like,
into it.
But it's that thing of like, you can't live without. Yeah, that's of course, what it felt like. But yes, they had a great time. Honestly, that wasn't just all those. I would have, you know me, and warts and all, I will put up. And honestly, we probably had a couple of like tantrums, really, but nothing. It felt like, you're staying in Airbnb, so it is a home from home, but you're still, I think we just all needed that change of location. We haven't really been anywhere since lockdown. I mean, we went to Dimchurch a couple of days in a caravan last year, but and I think, you know, they loved it being in a different flat, and it was a big flat in Edinburgh, and they just love going to the shows. I think it's the best holiday they've had. I think they totally threw themselves,
and there was enough up there for them to take them to and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, loads, because we went, there was quite a lot of shows. You can take them to free fringe shows, and I would say they could have done even more shows, actually. But yeah. A lot of them are in the morning and they're in on at the same time. So, you know, you've got to make a choice. And then we happened to be staying round the corner from like the world's biggest soft play. And obviously, it's like anywhere. There's parks, there's cinema, you know. So you just do
that. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the crappiest day was when we went to Edinburgh Zoo. Do not bother. Particularly do not bother if it's pouring with rain, because we spent £65 and it was raining, so every animal was just hiding. If you ask the kids what animal, they were talking about pandas the other day. We saw a panda. They were like, no, we didn't. I went, yes, you did. And if you look, one of the videos I shared on, if you go to @HattieAshdown, my Instagram page, I think I put it on the Funny Mummies one as well. You can see them dancing and it's like a panda behind them, but they don't care. I was just like, oh, I always want chips. So that was the only day we got a bit annoyed with them, because it was like, they just, the whole, yeah, not, I think zoos are just wasted on kids.
I agree. I think they are. I went to a zoo over the summer. And
oh, did you?
Yeah. And we went to Chesham Wild Adventures. Oh. And that seems to be like a yearly trip. And every time I go, and he doesn't want to fucking go on anything. So it's just like, I forgot to get the bloody cheaper pre-buy tickets. And so it's just like, so I could have just gone to the fair down the road. for the sake of what he wants to go on. And I felt bad for about a minute, and I said no, I've not paid this much money just for you to just go on the one ride. And so I basically pushed him onto a ride, and he screamed for the whole ride.
Oh, no.
I was just like, you get more dizzy on your trampoline. I was just like forced, trying to force him to enjoy it. Complete bloody waste of money.
King special memories in the half term. I'm just imagining you pushing him onto the teacup ride and going, get dizzy on a trampoline. Oh, that's funny, is it? My kids are opposite. I the only thing I did like about that zoo, but then again, we didn't get the whole way through round it, was there was no rides. And normally we go to ones where there's rides and stuff, and then they're not looking at any animals. They just want to go on. And I'm like, for God's sake, there's a rhinoceros there.
It's the last rhinoceros on the planet. And you want to go on the bloody £1 to go Peppa Pig boat?
Oh, well, we've had that conversation, didn't we? I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, the whole thing about going to Butlins or somewhere like that, and they got all the rides, but no.
The
one you got to pay for. You put the money in the machine, and like the one I went on at, or the kids went on at Butlins, where it went, whoo, let the dogs out, whoo, 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 and it went round in a circle. That was it.
That's what I was saying. That when I took out, he was too young, really. And when I realised, I worked out that I might as well have saved the £800 it cost to go, changed up £800 into pound coins, and just gone down Asda and just put pound coins in the thing on the Eagle Piggle boat outside Asda.
I think you're right there. I mean, that when things started opening up after lockdown, that was literally how I could get them to go to the. I mean, I didn't take them to shock to me because obviously it was like, don't take kids if you don't have to. But then it started to get to a point where you're like, come on, I've got a... So the only excitement of the day is taking to the shops. And I would like say, oh, you can go on the fire engine, the shopping centre.
It's like open, bloody hell.
Yeah, when it started to be open, you know, people have ripped off the red and white things that have been put round it.
The crime scene, do not cross.
It was so stupid. We had them around our gym, you know, like the outside gym. People put it right there.
Oh, God. Those are the days, eh? Bloody
so, hell. How has your summer holidays been? I can't believe we didn't even get a chance to talk.
I know.
I can believe it because it's just bonkers.
Well, I was supposed to go away with his father. For the first week and a half of the summer holidays. So I was kind of chunking it up and going, all right, okay, so that's the first week and a half, and then I'll do half this, and then I'll take some holiday, and we'll do this, and I'll put them there, and I'd all kind of got it planned. And like clockwork, it didn't work out like that, and Alistair did not. So I had a full care of Alistair for the entire 6 weeks.
For the entire 6 weeks? Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, through a few... Because I've done it a few summers now, I kind of, I'm a bit more kind of like, okay, this is just about trying to make it as easy as possible. And I spent a fortune really on just childcare really over the summer. But it was just like, okay, let's just get through this. So that was that. So it's a mixture of old childbinder, first week was holiday club, and the logistics just didn't work, so I pulled him out. I was just like, this isn't working. Also, he was just like, I haven't made any friends. It's like, oh God. And all that. So it just, you know, and every parent I spoke to was just like, it's too long. It is too long. But you know, we had beautiful, well, probably too hot weather.
And then we
went away on a proper knees up special holiday at the end of August. And it was lovely. I threw a load of money at it. I've had a holiday for a few years, whatever, you know, and tax returns were going well this year, you know, so not to brag, but they were. Anyway, so it was lovely, all inclusive. It was amazing. And I said to Al, how's this? That's a good holiday, isn't it? And he said, yeah. I said, oh, how does this compare? And he said, I prefer Butlins.
He did.
The thing is, I was like, uh-huh. He said, why is that? He said, well, there's more to do. And I was like, do you know what? That's fair enough.
Fair enough, yeah.
If there is more to do, but I says to him, well, your dad can take you next time.
Yeah.
I'm going back there. I'm coming here, mate. You can go over there. So,
So yeah, but it was lovely. Yeah, really lovely.
Was this abroad? This was abroad. Where did you say?
Yeah, yeah, Mallorca.
Mallorca.
Went to Mallorca.
I love it.
Oh, I'll tell you what. It's all inclusive. I know, yeah. I keep saying it, but I can't. This is also this holiday is like never to be repeated. It's like it really felt like a once in a lifetime thing. It was just that, yeah. That amazing, and but and also like actually after about 5 days of having like 4 helpings of dinner. Because the thing is you go, oh, it's free, and it just completely take the joy out of eating, really.
Right, yeah.
Because it's like, oh God, I've got to eat again, and I like that, and I like that, and I like that. So you just have a plate of everything. And if I had one virgin mojito a day, I had about 12. So I'm surprised I have any teeth left in my head.
They are full of sugar.
That was great. 12 puds, 12 puds, bit of fruit.
And but did you, because it's all in the hotel, I guess. Or,
yeah.
Or, so I guess that's the only thing is, were you fed up with being in the hotel? Or did you not mind it? Were you like, great?
No, I don't. It was, so we had kids, there was a kids club. So we'd go into the kids club. We did the same thing every day. Breakfast, kids club, 10 till 1. Go off for lunch, pool in the afternoon. It was
so you
brilliant.
Just got, you literally went off on your own when he was in the kids club.
Well, I was with my mate, with my other single mum mate.
Oh,
and so we'd get a lounger and just yeah, just lie and just talk, sometimes not talk. It was brilliant.
Oh, that is
recommend.
Oh, recommend. Because yeah, a lot of people I know, even people with you know, with their partners or whatever. Just, I spoke to my friend last night, actually. She went to, where'd she go? She go to Turkey for 3 weeks. And she said, oh, it was actually too long.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah, she was like, it was too long, really. And just like, it's that thing of like, it's not completely a holiday. It's just your kids in another location. Yeah. And I think it is if... You still got to do. I don't know. I think they were obviously. I don't think they were definitely not all inclusive. I don't think so. They were. You know, they still got to do a certain amount of cooking, probably, and a certain amount of washing, and there was no one looking after the kids.
No.
So, yeah, but you see, saying that for me, you know, obviously, we you know we've gone on holiday before and it's felt a bit like that, but Edinburgh didn't feel like that. It really did feel like.
A break.
I can't believe it's saying we've only got 10 minutes left. How have we done that?
So you're back.
So I'm back.
And little and the baby started school.
He's doing that staggered thing. A lot of people, I don't know if other people have this, please tell me, because it's a nightmare where they stagger it. So he did two, this week he's done like an hour a day. Next week he's going to do morning school week.
Just get him into school.
Let's get him in. So then the following week, he doesn't start until like the 19th. He does a full day. And he's ready. He's just like...
The 19th, doesn't he? Bloody half term.
I know. He just thinks he's in trouble. He's like, "Why am I not? Why am I only there for an hour?" So, but yes, that will. It's a combination because he's been so cute at the moment. He's been quite sassy, but he's been quite cute, and I'm so I'm feeling that. I am feeling that feeling of like, oh. But then I'm also going, yeah. But half terms come around ever so quick, so. When you're your first child, you sort of go, oh, that's it. They're, you know, they're in the institution now. And then you realise, no, but there's lots of holidays and, you know, it's fine. You'll see them a lot again. So we should, we're just trying to keep things a little bit shorter with this podcast as well, because we know you mummies and daddies. I hope daddies are listening. But we should say, in a nice sort of full circle, I ended up doing my show last night because I wanted to record it. I didn't get a chance to record it in Edinburgh, partly because you never knew how many audience you were going to get. So I was like, I'm not going to pay for someone to film it and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was so lucky last night. I managed to get Next Up, who are an online comedy. They're like Netflix. For comedy, and so they came and filmed it. They bought their 4 cameras. It was brilliant. I felt like Mariah Carey. It was brilliant, and they were there. And I wanted to do this sort of London show to record it, and then the Queen went ill. in the afternoon, and I was I was sort of saying like, oh, can you hold on for one more day? Please don't go, Lizzie, during my show. And I telling you now, the spooky thing was 2 minutes before I went on, everyone's gone through and I could see people looking at their phones, and I looked and someone went to me, she's died, and I've gone, oh, fuck. And I had to make this split decision about whether I was going to mention it or not. And I decided not to. And I think it was
because of the filming.
I think because of the filming.
Good for you, yeah.
And also, I've got a time limit. I'm such a pro. But there was little hints at it, because if you do or don't know my show, I'm not going to be doing it for many more times. I'm going to do it 8th of March in 8th of October in Manchester for the Women in Comedy Festival. So if you live in Manchester, please come and see me at 5 o'clock at the Fitzgerald. There's stuff about loss and mother and daughter loss, so it was very apt, and I knew that most people did know, so I think people said I did it perfectly. There was little nods to it, but so where was you when you found out, you know, it's all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
were you at work?
You know, her being ill and stuff, so it wasn't like a big shock, was it, actually, when the news came through? Yeah, I travelled through Victoria, actually, and it was getting quite busy. You know, people clutching flowers and what have you.
Oh,
yeah. And then I got home, and I was just on the sofa with Al, and I said to him, "Oh, the Queen's probably going to die today," you know. And yeah, I was just sat on the sofa, and he was watching YouTube. So I turned that off. I want the news on. So yeah.
Well, let's just round this off then with what it means to our kids and as well, because I thought Hux would be really upset, but he wasn't, because he's sort of like, they talk about, they're quite, you know, at my school, quite traditional, and he's sort of talked about it before, saying, oh, you know, she looks after us and all this sort of thing, and I'm like, you know, I think I can be honest today, I'm not really a traditional royalist in any way, but, you know, obviously I respect her. As a woman, but what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really, he doesn't really care. He hasn't really got an opinion at all. But I think it's just that, you know, God, what hasn't been said. But it's just like, oh God, like what does this mean? Like what does this mean for our country? You know, and I think, and it's that for me. It's like, what does this mean for our country and our culture? It's weird that we've now got a king, and that this guy that we've been calling Charles for all of our lives is now actually because the Queen is the Queen. She was never Elizabeth to us. Yeah. She was the Queen. Whereas who's the King? What do you mean? You talk about Elvis. It's like the King's Elvis, right? So it's a bit weird. It's just going to take some time, you know?
Yeah, and this sort of overnightness from somebody that, let's be honest, has been taking the mickey out of before. This sort of big-eared, flippy, you know.
And also, like, I'm saying no disrespect, but you know, this is the guy who, you know, the transcription of his telephone call with Camilla like 30 years ago, where he's like, this is the king of our country now.
Yeah.
King Charles III saying to somebody, I wish I was your tampon.
Yes!
Okay. So, you know, however, the Queen, like, tell you what I liked about her was that she didn't express an opinion. And I don't mean that in a woman, like the good little woman way. What I mean is that she was a real diplomat, and she was just like, you know what? Yeah. I'm just gonna be here for people, you know, in that way. So good for her. And I know lots of people are sad about it, but you know, come on, 96. And also, come on, we've had enough of this monarchy stuff. Let's move on.
Well, yeah. And on that note, for anyone, you know, obviously I know it triggers stuff for people because, like, you know, like for me, my mum loved the Queen. She was that generation of being a young girl when she was a young queen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it obviously makes me think about my mum. And the first person I thought, oh, I want to tell my mum, even though it's been 6 years since my mum died, I still, like, think she's the person I want to tell.
Yeah, and I reached out, my mum's overseas at the moment, and my mum, I text her saying, are you okay that you're not here? Because my mum has become a bit of a royalist as she's got older.
Yeah.
And so I did text her saying, oh, I'm sort of like, you know, you're all right, like, are you missing out? And she said, oh, I kind of, yeah, wish I was there, really.
But it's comfort. Don't you think a lot of people follow it and suffer comfort? I mean,
yes, yeah, yeah.
Watching today, where he you know, Charles had to come out and the king, sorry, had to come out and greet people.
Elvis, what? See? Elvis.
What? Elvis came out and greet people within less than 24 hours after his mother's died. He's had to come out and greet people. I didn't even want to see the milkman, let alone greet loads of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's greeting people. And then you said, I just saw someone like kiss his hand.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think people just get so, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it though? And I was like, don't, yeah, we're not peasants. We're not the,
yeah,
not the,
yeah, 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 yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the thing that I struggle with.
Also, have you seen his hands?
Where have they been? No, answer that. That's disrespectful. And watch us get taken off air. No, but he did a lovely speech. If you,
I haven't listened to it yet, but I will have it.
No, he did do a very nice speech.
I saw, and also he said, like, Liz Truss came in, and they sort of filmed the beginning of them, yes, sort of her coming in, and he said, it's small talk, obviously, and he said, oh. Yeah. He said, I've been dreading this day, you know, or I've been dreading, you know, I know, yeah. I've been prepared, but I've been dreading it. I don't know if he was referring to meeting Liz Truss or, but, you know, and you think, oh, yeah, you know, it's just like, oh.
But he's been, you know, you could look at him and go, cool, he's doing this and doing that, but this is what he's been trained for.
Yeah, every, yeah, for 70, whatever years.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not saying, like, this is what he's been trained for, get over it, but I just mean, this is what they've been trained for, so he has to, yeah, but so far, you know, good luck to him. Okay, thank you so much for listening. We're gonna have to run now, but watch this space for what's coming up next. Keep sharing, keep liking, keep downloading. Thank you, Gemma, and anything else you want to say?
No.
Keep seeing comedy at Soho Theatre.
Oh, cool. Keep seeing comedy. Go out. Leave your home. Come on. Yes, living. Don't worry about it. Go find some free comedy, cheap comedy. Just
we
go
need
and see it.
More than ever. I'm going to see Kim Noble at Soho Theatre. Come to that if you want to see something really weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's only for, like, people who are, like, really into comedy.
Yeah, if you really like really weird stuff. Anyway, bye.
See ya. Bye.
I don't know how to stop it, but it's going to just stop in a minute, I think. Oh.
I loved his last bit.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of The Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.